Hey there, folks. Welcome to Rock and Rally Tennis, where it's all tennis, all the time. I'm James Lynn. Follow us on Twitter at Rock and Rally. That's Rock underscore and underscore Rally. And on Facebook at facebook.com/Rock and Rally Tennis. Rock and Rally Tennis podcast episode number 136 is brought to you by CareerWonder.com. The ultimate career resource site featuring video interviews of professionals from a wide array of industries. Sharing the stories, journeys, and insights about their careers and jobs at CareerWonder.com. Folks, I want to give a special shout out to Tennis Pal Chronicles, which is a cool new tennis podcast brought to you by a group of avid tennis fans. They interview tennis professionals and discuss tips, news, and reviews. The host of Tennis Pal Chronicles is our friend Philip Kim, who is the tennis pro at the historic Langham Huntington in Pasadena, as well as the director of tennis for the city of Azusa in Southern California. You can find more information on Tennis Pal Chronicles at lovesetmatch.net. Welcome to another segment of Match Points, where we answer questions from our listeners. This is Match Points segment number 15. If you'd like to send us a question, you can email us at askme@rockandrallytennis.com or message us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/rockandrallytennis or tweet us at rockandrally. That's rock underscore and underscore rally. Let's get started. Joey from Brooklyn, New York wants to know, is this latest version of Djokovic as good as or better than the one who dominated through the 2016 French Open? Hey, Joey, thanks for your question. You know, to me, the Djokovic who dominated the men's game for 2 or 3 years right up through the 2016 French Open seemed to be a little better than the current version, at least from what I can tell over the past 6 months. I know there are likely many folks who want to zero in on the fact that he has really turned it on since about the halfway point of this year, subsequently winning the last two majors. And of course, his game has looked fantastic in the process. But for me, it's more about what his game looks like to the naked eye rather than what the match statistics may lead us to believe. Now, there have been times over these past 6 months when Djokovic has looked outright dominant, like his vintage self. But for the most part, I think he's played, well, good enough to win. I guess that's how I would describe it. What I have not seen is that same aura of invincibility that he had a few years ago. The players, of course, have enormous respect for Djokovic. He is still by far the best at turning defense into offense. But I have to say, and perhaps it's because Djokovic's layoff, his stops and starts over the past couple of years were due to a physical injury, but to me, it just seems this time around that more of his opponents, particularly those with a significant edge in raw physicality, are now relishing the challenge of trying to take him down by playing a very physical brand of tennis. You know, this new version of Djokovic seems to be just a little bit more susceptible to getting overpowered by some of the bigger, more physical players. I mean, case in point, I mean, Djokovic has lost the finals of the last couple of tournaments to 2 6-foot-6-inch next-gen players in Karen Khachanov and Sasha Zverev. The caveat is, well, it is the end of the year. Djokovic has had to play a lot of tennis to recapture the number one ranking, and he's probably a little worn down, which is completely understandable. But we'll see in the coming year if this is simply an aberration due to fatigue from a very busy end of your tournament schedule, or if it is indeed a trend in the making. That said, Djokovic will still be the player to beat in 2019. I don't see that changing. Thanks for your question, Joey. Cal from Houston, Texas writes, do you think Tsitsipas is the real deal? Hey, thanks for your question, Cal. You know, the short answer is yes. Tsitsipas has had a great year. He started 2018 ranked number 91 in the world and has jumped to, I think, number 15. And at just 20 years old, Tsitsipas is the youngest player inside the top 20. He won his first career ATP title in Stockholm just a few weeks ago. And also, he's had a couple of runner-up finishes, both in Nadal in Barcelona and Toronto this year. Now, at 6'4", Tsitsipas is tall and rangy and already has very good pop in his game. Now, again, he's only 20 years old, and as he continues to fill out his physical frame over the next 2 or 3 years or so, the natural power in his game will only increase. Now, physical tools aside, What I like most about Tsitsipas's game is the intelligence and situational awareness with which he plays. You know, he actually reminds me a lot of Borna Koric, who is another young, very smart and savvy player. I just think Tsitsipas has a higher ceiling. He already has a little more natural pop in his game and a wider array of shot-making abilities than Koric. I believe Tsitsipas will be a top 5 player over the next couple of years if he can stay healthy. I appreciate your question, Cal. Tyler from Irvine, California wants to know, which shot is the most underutilized in tennis? Hey Tyler, thanks for your question. This is an easy one for me. The most underutilized shot in tennis today is the backhand slice. But let me qualify this. I'm not referring to the stock slice that virtually every pro can hit. As I've talked about in previous podcasts, in this era of first strike power tennis, the slice has unfortunately been relegated to that of a defensive, hit it only when you have to type of shot. Consequently, you see very few players with adequate variety on the backhand slice where it can be used offensively. In fact, the only player that comes to mind who actually possesses the variety on the backhand slice is, of course, the GOAT himself, Roger Federer. Federer does a lot with the backhand slice. For Federer, it's not just a defensive or stock change of pace type of shot, as it is for pretty much everyone else. Federer will routinely use short, low, angled backhand chips and slices to draw opponents into that no-man's land area of the court. Yes, that area of the court with which most players are not as comfortable versus the baseline. You know, and it's not just at the professional level. At the recreational level, the backhand slice is severely underutilized as an offensive tactical play. All too often at the local park or tennis club, I'll see one player comfortably camped out playing from several feet behind the baseline. And yet, the other player almost never cuts the ball short or angled to try to get the opponent out of their comfort zone. And that's really unfortunate because it's a big weapon to have in your arsenal if you can make your opponent move, reach, bend, or draw them into those areas of the court in which they may not be comfortable. In my view, this starts with the coaching and instruction. I believe if more coaches and teaching pros would make it a point to teach the backhand slice as more than just a defensive-oriented shot, we would see players with greater variety and versatility in their games. But until then, the backhand slice is what it is. The most underutilized shot in the game today. I appreciate your question, Tyler. Folks, thanks for your questions. Keep them coming. I look forward to hearing from you for future Match Point segments. As a reminder, if you'd like to send us a question, email us at askme@rockandrallytennis.com or email us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/rockandrallytennis or tweet us at rockandrally. That's rock_and_rally. Well, that's all for this episode, folks. Thanks for joining us at Rock and Rally Tennis. Please subscribe to our podcast at rockandrallytennis.com. I'm James Lynn. See you next time.